2:01. Time for Barry to do a voiceover first, which we may include in the opening part of our podcast as well. Barry's doing a voiceover for Brian Moore's Full Contact Rugby Show. Barry, over to you.
Hi, Brian. It's Barry Glendening here. Don't miss my show on TalkSport.
I'll come over to this mic, Barry, but keep all this in the edit, by the way.
This is a bit Band-Aid, isn't it? Just gathered around one mic. Hi, Brian. It's Barry Glendening here. Don't miss my show on TalkSport. My show, by the way, not Max Rushton's show. The warm-up every Sunday at 11 with Max Rushton. I want to know from you, Brian, how did you used to warm up for a game?
Nah, be honest, Barry. Do you care how Brian Moore warmed up for a game?
I don't really know. I'd say he probably had a curry and drank 6 pints or something.
Well, we'll be listening to Full Contact to find out how he warmed up for that. Thanks. That is 1:03 now. Chambo's here.
Hello.
Hello. Luke's here.
Hello.
Barry's here.
Hello.
And I'm
here. I think we've already established that.
And we have established that. So you're about to hear the best bits from what was a very packed warm-up show, where for the first hour we talked about vomit, and for the second hour it all just flew by in a sort of haze of excitement. I had a vaguely serious conversation about football with Stan Collymore. I would try not to have any more serious conversations again on TalkSport.
I got to meet Darren Eady.
Yeah,
the
Barry,
man with the 7 toilets.
Barry got to meet Darren Eady, but you didn't. But, you know, maybe you will one day. Nice man, big quiff. Here are the best bits of our show we hope you like. Good morning. Welcome to the warm-up on TalkSport, the world's biggest sports radio station. Live and exclusive national radio commentary of Leicester City versus West Ham, 1:30 this afternoon. Between now and 1, though, me and Barry take this show into the absolute gutter. Good morning, Barry. How are you? The Guardian's Barry Glendening, esteemed journalist.
Not so esteemed. I'm very well, thank you.
You could have cleared. You've had about 5 hours this morning to clear your throat. That you'd wait until
I do apologise.
Just before we come on air. We weren't together last week, were we?
No.
I was doing breakfast with Michael Quinn, which was a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
Was it?
Yeah. Why do you say was it?
I was just wondering.
Yeah, do you know what? Well, not too bad at all. Yeah, because 7 is not too early to start, is it? The 6 o'clock start is a little bit, you know, that affects your work-life balance, but 7, it's okay. Right. You're sort of fed a lot of, you know, they get a lot of guests
and stuff.
Was there
good chemistry between you and Quinny?
I think there was something there.
If you were like a striking partnership playing football, you'd have been a good, you know, big man, very big man, classic partnership.
I think that was the issue, that we both held it up.
Right.
But in a radio context, not like when Paul Hawksby and I do a show together, that's like Gerrard and Lampard, you know, in the same midfield.
I see.
Both of us trying to do exactly the same things. That's happened when I did it with Brazil as well. We got in each other's way. Whereas with Jacobs or with you, you know, naturally there's a leader, you know, and there's a sidekick.
Right.
Yeah. So you were away.
Yeah, I was on a friend's stag do.
Okay, we're going to have a Barry's stag do anecdote, which is sort of how we launch into today's show, really, and how you're going to get involved. I'm excited about this, not just because Barry did go near a Subway, and if you remember his excellent Subway anecdote from a few months ago.
Meatball marinara.
Yeah, exactly. Purchase. It was a really great time, that, wasn't it? But that's not the anecdote you're going to tell us.
No.
So the subject that we'd like you to get involved with today, all the usual features, and all the team news as well from Leicester as well, and from the Bournemouth game as well. The subject is your abject sporting low. The moment in sport where it all went totally wrong for you. It could be over a matter of seconds or a whole game, but everyone has one. Everyone has the lowest ebb that they've had on a sporting field.
Some are more famous than others.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, poor old Mickey Gray, that penalty, that's
precisely
a classic.
Yeah.
But
Berahino's not great yesterday. It might not be his absolute sporting low, but it's, you know, probably
that
up
Preston
there.
Player who let an opposition striker save his penalty, Alex Revel for MK Dons yesterday. Mm. Fantastic penalty save. My friend Beavis, not his real name. I will spare him the embarrassment.
Oh, come on, you've got to name and shame this man.
Revealing his real name.
What's his name?
We went to Leeds. on a stag do.
Yeah.
Not sure why we were in Leeds. It was fine. It's a lovely place. I'd never really been there before.
Barry Glendenning hates Leeds.
And as most guys would be aware, you have a kind of an activity.
Yeah.
You start on the Friday night and then you end an activity on the Saturday.
The Friday night is always, we'll just have a quiet few drinks because we've got the activity on Saturday morning. And that Friday turns into
Well, Friday we were in a disco dancing emporium full of young people.
How did that go?
Drinking things out of funnels and hoses.
God.
At one stage, I was presented with a large bamboo receptacle containing, I'm told, six different brands of rum.
Oh, that you need six.
Which had been set on.
Yeah, if you mix five...
Five just isn't enough.
It doesn't cut it, does it?
So, yeah, it got slightly out of hand.
Did you go onto the dance floor, Barry?
I may have busted some moves,
yes. Oh, God. Lord help us.
Yeah, with some embarrassing dad dancing. Now, but like, I hadn't been in a nightclub, I would say, in about 7 years, 8 years, possibly more.
Yeah.
My nightclub days are behind me. But anyway.
Well, you remember the last time I went to when I got punched by a 5 foot girl dressed as a clown. And that's another story. Good one, though.
So anyway, the next day, as part of our try to stay out of the pub until a respectable o'clock, you know, 2 PM or whatever, we went go-karting in the big indoor track in Leeds. And there were 10 of us, and while doing our qualifying 15 minutes to see who'd go where on the grid for the big race, Beavis, who was the best man...
Right.
Well, there's no easy sort of way to say this. He threw up while wearing his crash helmet, which was closed, obviously. You know, a classic racing driver crash helmet with the visor. And Beavis,
Did he carry on driving?
He lost his breakfast. He carried on driving for a while. Well, he was driving at the time. And then he was forced to...
He could drown, surely.
He was forced to
Did it fill up? Like, you know, just slowly going over his eyes. Oh, no.
Yeah, so he hoped no one had noticed and then drove to a place sort of down the back of the track away from public view and sort of pulled in.
The pit lane.
And no, it wasn't the pit lane. And then removed the helmet and sort of had to empty.
This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Taking place today, Crystal Palace Arsenal. Let's talk to comedian and Crystal Palace fan Kevin Day. Kevin, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Although it's always quite confusing joining in halfway through your show, Max and Barry, because you have to try and work out what's been going on. I was very impressed to hear Barry talk about drinking six different types of rum out of a bamboo receptacle. Was that right?
That's correct, Kevin. Yeah. We're discussing.
Time I saw him was in a pub in Covent Garden. He was drinking six different types of rum out of a trainer.
Well, it's a long way down, isn't it? Well, we're actually discussing stag do and of course, hen do, if any ladies would like to call in. Mishaps, Kevin, I'm guessing you've done stand-up in front of a lot of braying drunks who were out on stag do's.
Not stag do's. What kind of idiot wants a stand-up comic on their stag do? Who wants to interrupt a night on a stag do to get 5 minutes of political comedy from... And now some witty asides from Kevin Day. Hey! Stop being sick in that bucket. There's some politics to come.
Kevin, ages ago you did that. You sent that sort of that tweet about Emmanuel Adebayor going, if he scores 10, I'll swim across a waterless...
I'll swim naked across Thornton Heath Pond, that's right.
Yeah.
So if he scores 3 hat-tricks against Arsenal, I'm going to be panicking.
Pretty safe.
Listen, I knew it was safe then. I wouldn't have sent it if I had any... If I had any idea you would actually score 10 goals, of course I wouldn't have sent that tweet.
Palace has been a weird season, hasn't it, Kevin? Because, you know, Alan Pardew was going to be the England manager. And where were you? Were you fifth at one point?
We were fifth at one point, yeah. We were behind Tottenham on goal difference, which, yeah, we were going to catch those losers any minute now. And we were just behind Leicester and a couple. Yes, it was odd. I think most Palace fans knew that fifth wasn't quite where we should be. And then there's a mate of mine who's a Palace fan who keeps using this phrase, reverting to the mean. which means you find end up where you should. But we've sort of over-reverted. So we didn't deserve to be fifth. We don't deserve to be where we are now, basically. So it has been weird.
But what do you... Well, I mean, do you change anything? There's no Pardew out campaign. He's quite loved there, isn't he?
Well, do you know what? It's really odd, because any other team... This is the Palace podcast I do. This is a source of conversation every week that any other club... If you'd gone through the run that we had gone through, the media, the fans, all would have been demanding some sort of change at managerial level. And apart from one or two of the usual dissenting voices who wanted him out when we were fifth, because fifth wasn't good enough, there was no real campaign to get Pardew out, because everyone realised what a good job he'd done with not the best squad we've ever had, and, you know, and realised that they were... mitigating circumstances, because the fact is we only really played badly in two games. Villa away, when our goalkeeper managed to nutmeg himself, which is still something I'm really proud of. The fact that I support a team whose goalkeeper can nutmeg himself is brilliant. But there's only a couple of games we played badly, and we were there or thereabouts in most games, so there was no real panic. And then now we're unbeaten now in the last three games, and we're probably playing a bit more how we used to. So no, there was no real panic, but I think the summer, there obviously needs to be changes in the summer. Recruitment needs to come in, because what we've got is basically we've got a top eight team and a top 20 squad, basically.
Kevin, do you fancy... Sorry, I wouldn't say fancy your chances. Do you give yourself any chance at all against Arsenal today?
Do you know, I panic every time you start a sentence with the words, do you fancy? I never, never know where it's going to end up. No, of course, I don't. Arsenal fans will be quaking in their boots. It's, you know, that business about everybody worries about returning players coming back to haunt you. That was ruined last week when Patrick Bamford came to Palace with Norwich, because not one single Palace fan, it didn't even occur to them that Bamford would score against us. I don't think any Arsenal fans will be worrying about Adebayor coming to them today. We have been playing well. We tend to play well against better teams, but our record against Arsenal is terrible. So anything we get today will be a bonus, to be perfectly honest.
I really feel for Patrick Bamford. Maybe it's just because he's got grade 7 violin that I really like him. But I just think he looks like a really great footballer. He was superb at Middlesbrough. And it didn't work with you, and it hasn't worked at Norwich. And I'm not sure why.
We all like him. He's just in the wrong job. He should be a violinist. The other violinists say he's a good footballer. But he's a strange one, because it's interesting, Norwich fans, because Connor Wickham is one of those you can say, well, he doesn't score a lot of goals, but goals happen when he's around. But Norwich fans will tell you that while Bamford's been there, even when he's on the pitch, he might not score, but other people don't score either. So, but he's clearly a good player, like you say, and I think one day a manager will get the best out of him. But I just... You feel for him, he's almost like a character from the Beano back in the 60s and 70s, this lovely, polite, posh young man who everyone thinks is too clever because, like you say, he plays violin, he can string a sentence together. But he's not a bad player, but it just hasn't happened for him. Maybe he's just not cut out for the rough and tumble of the dressing room. Who knows?
Yeah, I thought he played the cello. He's clearly smaller than I thought.
Holy mother of God, talk sports change, isn't it? How did he come to this? We're having a discussion about whether he plays violin or cello.
Yeah, and feeling incredibly sorry for the heir to the JCB billions who also was lucky enough to be really good at football.
You can tell which paper you write for, you Guardian reader.
He's the worst, isn't he? Typical left-wing nonsense from Glenn. That's TalkSport all over, Kevin, if you ask me.
TalkSport's a hotbed of loony left-wing liberalism. We all know that.
It really is. This is where Jeremy Corbyn lives, Kevin. You know that. Give us a score. Intellectual, Kevin. Don't expose that myth, please. Give us a score prediction.
No, I'm not going to do that, because last time I did that, I did an honest one and I got slaughtered by Palace fans. So all I'll predict is an encouraging performance and imply that we'll lose 2-1.
Perfect, Kevin. As always, thank you for your time, my friends.
Not at all. It was a pleasure to talk to you both.
Kevin Day, comedian and Crystal Palace fan.
Max and Barry's Premier League review on TalkSport.
A This is the world's biggest sports radio station. It's Talk Sport. You want to get in touch? We're doing your abject sporting lows. Do excuse the lavatorial nature of this phone, and it's not our fault. It's what you're telling us. There were six games in the Premier League yesterday. Yes. Barry, how many do you reckon we'll get through?
Let's try and get through all six.
Okay.
Right, we'll start at Old Trafford, where Aston Villa finally got relegated, and Julian Lescott seemed to... He was happy. It's a release.
No, this is... We saw the interview that to the game, it was pretty dull. Rashford scored another goal. People saying he should go to the Euros. He probably shouldn't. Afterwards, I think the interviewer said to Julian Lescott, is this in many ways a kind of, it's done now, sort of merciful relief, you can, get on with it? And his answer actually was, look, we've kind of known it was coming. It's obviously not a good, we're obviously not happy. I don't have the exact quotes in front of me. But then he said, perhaps it is a weight off our minds and we can get on and give a performance. So everybody takes that one sentence dramatically out of context. I know there was that whole tweeting a picture of a car thing a while ago that doesn't necessarily help his case. But I think that sentence is taken out of context.
Oh, he was clearly upset to get relegated. I think it was a poor choice of words. But then he had just played a game of football.
But everyone makes poor... Like, if everyone was pulled up for their poor choice of words, what would we be doing? I mean, we wouldn't be here, would we? Everybody says things that they kind of don't mean. But you have to understand the context of it. I don't think he should be absolutely lambasted for that. It's a nature of social media that is very frustrating, that you say one thing, you take that sentence out of context, and it becomes a totally different, totally different situation. So,
but that's all well and good, but what about what went on at Carrow Road, where Sunderland won 3-0?
Were you surprised, Barry?
I wasn't terribly surprised. They were kind of due a win, because they have been playing quite well without getting the results, and Norwich on their day can be really, really porous in defence. But it was a much-needed win for Sunderland, it would have been even better if Newcastle had lost from the point of view of this Sunderland.
You think Sunderland got the rubber for the green with the refereeing decisions?
I thought the ref had a good game. There was a bit of controversy over the penalty he awarded, but it was a penalty.
I'm giving that. He does slightly take the ball, and he really does take Barini.
Yeah,
but the second goal, actually, I think kickoff does foul Basson. I mean, Basson's messing about with it. I sort of deserved to lose the ball, but he does actually... by the letter of the law, Barry, without wanting to use a cliche, thinks he fouls him.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I did take from that game is watching it, it was quite obvious why both teams are down near the bottom of the table.
Newcastle United.
They're not very good.
Newcastle Swansea. The boy, they needed that.
Good win. Didn't see it coming. Andros Townsend's been one of very few bright sort of silver linings in the big cloud that has been Newcastle season. He's been good since he arrived, and I genuinely didn't see that coming. I thought they'd lose.
Yeah, but 1-0 Montero has a great chance for Swansea. People take their chance. Swansea were really knocking at the door until Sissoko scored a second. Doing well here, three games in, Barry. West Brom 0 Watford 1. Berahino misses two penalties.
Yeah.
Aurelio Gomez is like Dalsim in Street Fighter 2, and arms just fly out miles, don't they?
Well, I heard someone, it was Jermaine Jenas on Match of the Day last night, talking about Aurelio Gomez's incredibly long arms. It's like he's Stretch Armstrong. And he said he wasn't at all surprised that he saved two penalties, because he was very good at penalty saving when they used to practice them at Tottenham. Yeah, side of Berahino. I mean, it's a kind of a nothing match. It's rubber-stamped Watford's safety, but, they were already safe. And they have more important things to think about, specifically that FA Cup semi-final next week.
Chelsea 0, Manchester City 3. Looked a vaguely even game until Man City just kept scoring on the break. De Bruyne is just a beautiful footballer.
He has been remarkable. And I'd say a lot of Chelsea fans will be watching that game going, how on earth did we let him go? It's an extraordinary decision to let him go. I thought Manchester City would have a disastrous end to the season. I thought they'd fall away from the top four. I thought they'd crash out of the Champions League because of their porous defence and rickety or injury problems. They were sort of playing a second choice back four, but since coming back, he's been an absolute revelation.
Sing good!
That was the voice of Jeff Turner, frontman for the Cockney Rejects, their song Goodbye Upton Park. Jeff's on the line. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, thanks, Max. Really good. Little bit off from a gig last night in Southampton, but otherwise everything's good. Great, couldn't be better.
And tell us about the song.
Well, I had the idea for a song a while ago. We was going to make an album this year, and one of the titles was Goodbye Upton Park. And it got closer and closer, and I just thought, well, let's record the song anyway. And we was in talks with The Ground, and we're going to make an announcement this week. And I just thought, let's do it, put it up on the internet, because it means it's West Ham, it's ever so much. It just had to happen. I mean, the song was actually written about a year ago. And then we went into the studio about a month ago and just went, right, let's do it. And it's heartfelt. I'm really, really proud of it. I've had people texting me and all that, saying it brought me to tears and all that, seeing the clippings and all that. And it's great. It's a football song with a difference, because we're saying goodbye to our own.
How do you feel about leaving Upton Park?
I'll be honest with you. I was very, very upset at first, because I always thought it's a money move. Here you go. You might become a Man City. You might do, and I thought if we could have kept our ground and if we could have took the chicken run away and rounded that ground off to about 45,000, I would have been happy with that. I'm gutted, emotional, but I can understand why they're doing it. Because we are, I don't care what people say, we have always been deep down a big team. But many years ago in the 70s and that, we just had the wrong people around it who was happy to take the punters' money and then flog our best players. I understand why it's being done. And if we want to be up there with the big boys, it's a move that we have to do. We'll attract good players and we can fill that stadium, no doubt about it.
Jeff, Slaven Bilic is kind of a kindred spirit. He's front of band as well. Have you been impressed with the way he's managed the team? And have you tried to maybe get him on backing vocals or anything for the song?
But I know he's a very, very busy man. I mean, we do our stuff from our art and whatever follows. I mean, yeah, obviously, but I haven't got contact with people like Slav and all that. But I will say this, whatever happens to West Ham this season, we'll probably finish about eighth, whatever. It might tail off. But the way we've played, we've banged in goals. It's been exciting. That's all we wanted over there. I've seen games, the Arsenal game, if we'd lost 4-3, I would have accepted that. But we've been at them, we've been exciting, and it's been great to watch. Whatever happens from now on, it's been a great season. It really has. And I can't fault the man. I mean, we might be here. We know what football's like. In 6 months' time, we might be, fifth from bottom. People might be grumbling, but that's the way football goes. But by and large, I like the man. I like his passion. I like his style.
You must have been disappointed with the game midweek, because it was... I mean, it was almost, because everyone was going on about how scripted it was, a balmy night at Upton Park, last FA Cup game there, and you were favourites going into it. I had a feeling that most West Ham fans would be like, this is the sort of game we're going to lose now, people have built us up.
Now, exactly on the edge. We had a chance at Old Trafford, and everybody would say, they'll never make us the favourites. And it's that kind of thing with West Ham. I hate it, but I love it in a way. We can never seem to go when you're expected to do well to do it. And we didn't turn up Wednesday night. And I've got to say, against the Manchester United team, we should have bust them, but I don't know whether we froze. It just weren't our night. And that's it. Don't keep making me the favourite. I've had geezers coming at me before in the last few months. Champions League, please. Champions League. And I thought, no, it's West Ham. Your journey come late if you don't get it. It probably won't happen yet. But don't blow your own trumpet, And I thought, but fair dues, I've got to say it. I thought Man United were really good. And that Fellaini ain't had a decent game since dinosaurs rolled the other part. That he bust it, So, no credit where it's due. I think we went in there, we was a little bit up ourselves, and we come unstuck. And any other time, I would have been really, really... Of course, he was gutted as a football supporter, but I'm looking on it now. We've had a good season. I'm proud of them this season. They've done really well.
Jeff Turner, front man for the Cockney Rejects. Let's play Colvals. Neil Emblem.
Ian Selly.
Mustafa Hadji.
Mm-hmm. Dane Whitehouse.
Tommy Widrington.
Paul Goddard.
Dave McCreary.
Kevin Poole.
Ian Brightwell.
Trevor Peak.
Johnny Robinson.
Kingsley Black.
Mark Kinsella.
Eddie McGoldrick.
Des Linton.
Glenn Pennyfeather.
Steve Anthrobus. Google that.
Gary Charles.
John Sheffield.
Ian Culverhouse.
Oh, well done. David Seaman, if Barry and I were to come round for dinner, what would you cook for us?
You would have to come round on the Sunday because I'm pretty decent at Sunday roast.
Okay, talk us through it.
It would be roast lamb, and it would be the leg of lamb. You'd have roast potatoes and mashed potatoes.
Oh, double potato.
Yeah, some people don't like the roast, but anyway. And then it would be cauliflower and broccoli with cheese on, and then a bit of veg. A nice gravy and a massive Yorkshire pudding.
I can't help but notice, David, it is Sunday today and it's getting towards lunchtime.
I know, exactly, and the weather's fantastic.
We'll be over in 2 hours, David.
No, don't bother, because the kitchen's been redone, so we're not connected yet.
David, if you were coming to our house for dinner and we asked if there was anything in particular you didn't want to eat, what would you say?
I wouldn't want to eat tomato pasta.
Okay.
Just, I had a lifetime of that under Arsene Wenger.
David, do you do your own laundry?
Not really. My wife Frankie does it mostly.
Okay.
I put it in the box, though. At least I don't.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. You managed to make it to the laundry basket.
Who says romance is dead? Do you recycle, David?
Yes, totally.
David, when did you last take public transport, like a bus or a train?
It was probably the Olympics, and I didn't enjoy it.
not a man of the people, then? No.
No.
Okay.
And I had to stand up, which I could not believe.
That is no one gave their seat up to David Seaman. It's an outrage.
Now, David, famous goalkeeper Pat Jennings has struggled with this one in the past, so take your time.
That's right.
What's your favourite insect?
Favourite insect would be worm. Is that an insect?
I'm not so sure.
Not really?
Oh, is it? Oh, yes, the producer defiantly says yes.
Okay.
I think what else would it be? It's not a mammal, is it?
No.
No.
Yeah.
Some sort of invertebrate, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll get into it. If anyone knows, text us 8-10-89. The world's biggest sports radio station, by the way, if you weren't sure.
not only is it good for your garden, but good for fishing bait.
you've probably ended the lives of many worms, haven't you, David, with your fishing antics?
Stuck a big hook through their heads and then drowned them.
You hate worms, if we're honest.
Yeah,
David.
True, yeah, probably put about 3 or 4 of them on the hook, actually.
David, do you own a onesie? And if so, do you wear it?
No, I don't. I can't stand them.
Okay, good.
What's your favourite cheese, David?
Favourite cheese would be a mild cheddar. I'm not massively...
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the strong, smelly ones.
Mm-hmm. Sort of a 1 or a 2 on the scale, would you say?
Just a 2.
A 1.6. David Seaman, big question now. How many toilets do you have?
Four?
More than enough. Okay, that's sort of mid-table for you. Mark Schwarzer, David, once his renovations are done, will have 9.
Will he?
Mm. So just,
wow. It's just decadence, really.
How many does he need?
I only have 1.
Exactly.
It's more than adequate.
Yeah. As long as you know where it is every time of night, you're fine.
And I am at that age now where I can't get through the night
without having to
visit it.
Who can? I'm at least once, if not twice.
Moving swiftly along, what kind of pant do you prefer, David Seaman? Are you loose, tight, jockey, boxer?
Tight boxer.
Okay.
Are you better looking than West Brom's Jonas Olsen?
Well, is he Danish?
He's Swedish.
Swedish.
Mm.
Swedish.
Very handsome. He's
better looking than me, then, isn't he? I'm from Rotherham.
And David, do you smell nicer than the notoriously fragrant Michael Carrick?
I don't know. Hugo Boss, that smells nicer. He has a dodgy one, then I smell nicer.
Okay.
Finally, David, are you nicer than Linvoy Primus?
I'm a pretty nice guy, so I think he'd be a good competition. I don't know how nice he is.
He's got an MBE for being nice.
For being nice? Mm. Well, I've got one as well, but not for being nice.
just before we let you go, David, this is hot off the... Worms are considered insects.
Brilliant.
They belong to a vast... Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm off the hook, but they're not.
They belong to a vast range of different phyla, annelids, nematodes, flatworms, acorn worms... Velvet worm. I'm just a list of worms you've handed me. Why am I reading this out? I'm like Ron Burgundy, aren't I? David, thank you for your time. Four toilets. You are nice, and we appreciate you coming on and entertaining us with those ridiculous questions.
Great stuff. Cheers, guys.
Top man, Arsenal and England legend, David Seaman. This is the warm-up on TalkSport. Here we are. We're into the knockout stages.
Yep.
We're doing the first four games of the knockout stages. And here's how it works. We've both got a dice in exactly the same vessel, a black TalkSport mug. And 1, 2 and 3 are what they are worth on a dice. 4 is worth 1. 5 and 6 worth 0, because no one will score more than 3 goals in a game in the European Championships. Match 1, 2 p.m, June the 25th, St Etienne, Albania versus Germany.
So this is a round of 16. This is a knockout, Albania taking on Germany.
Albania 0.
Germany 1.
What happens if it's a draw? We just keep rolling again.
Well, we'll have extra time.
Extra time and penalties. Oh, yeah, how exciting. Match 2. Turkey versus Iceland. 8 p.m, the 25th of June, in Lens. Here we go. Turkey 2.
Plucky Iceland. 1.
Okay.
They go crashing out their first ever European champion.
Turkey played Germany in the quarterfinals. That'll be a fiery game, won't it? Right, now, match 3. England versus Northern Ireland. 5 o'clock, June the 25th. Michael O'Neill was on Fantasy Football last week. What a lovely man he is. Here we go. Right, England 1.
Northern Ireland. Oh, it's on the floor. Hold on. 3! England are out!
England, that's sensational. Bad luck, England.
Who could possibly have seen that one coming?
Northern Ireland into the quarterfinals of the European Championships. Finally, Portugal versus the Republic. 8 o'clock, June the 26th in Toulouse.
Do the right thing here, mate.
Portugal 1.
Republic of Ireland. 1. We need...
Oh, extra time. Okay.
Extra time.
Here we go. So we're into extra time here. Portugal 3. Does that make it 4 in total?
Tired Ireland. 3! Penalties!
4-4 after extra time. Who would have thought? Extraordinary game here in Toulouse. Okay, so it's a straight roll here.
Okay.
So 5 is 5 and 6 is 6.
Penalty shootout, okay. And then we go
into
wins.
Higher score wins, and then it goes into sudden death. Darren Eby's waiting to come on. Hey, look, if this keeps going on, then no commentary of Leicester versus West Ham. That's just how live radio works. Portugal 4.
Republic of Ireland. 6!
There we are.
Get in!
6-4 on penalties after a 4-4 try. A quarter-final in the Euro 2016. Northern Ireland versus the Republic
Have
of Ireland.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
That is exceptional.
Let's see you posing in your pants now.
Next week, Ukraine-Slovakia, Switzerland-Belgium, Italy, Czech Republic and Wales versus Hungary. Pleased to say, Darren Eady is join us in the studio. Very rare we have a studio guest. Leicester City. Can you envisage anyone? Can you envisage West Ham getting anything from this game? Stopping them?
Well, I can. Probably out of all the teams they've played, I think a defining moment for me was Man City away when Leicester tore them apart. I think that was a real moment for me to think they are going to go on and do this. But a team like West Ham, I think, poses a biggest problem for someone like Leicester. I think they play in a very similar kind of manner. They like a physical challenge, as do Leicester. But they've got some top quality footballers as well. And I think it'll be a really good spectacle today. I think it's going to be one of those games which is going to be a typical Premier League, fast and furious, and hopefully plenty of goals in it. I think it's got the makings of a great one.
How have you found this whole Leicester story?
Incredible, like everybody else has. My dad's born and bred in Leicester, so you can imagine he's been on the phone to me constantly since the start of the season. Unfortunately, he wasn't one of the ones that had a few quid on it at the start. He didn't do that, but it's just astounding. I think this is the biggest story I think in football history. It's just incredible.
I'm amazed by the amount of people who've come out of the woodwork with waving yeah, betting slips with Leicester to win the Premier League. Like, yeah. You would think they would need psychiatric help rather than but. They clearly knew.
Well, people do it every year, don't they? They might, but the thing is, they probably like put a quid on it, don't they? So effectively, it's not a huge amount.
Still, at 5,000 to 1, yeah, it's not too shabby, is it?
No. But it's just an incredible story, and from the position they're in. But for me, it's just the mentality they've had this season. Sometimes you see, all due respect, but when Man United won the title the last time they won it, I think they're a little bit lucky to win it. But you look at Leicester this season. Probably the two best teams I've seen at Carrow Road is Leicester and Tottenham.
Bizarre state of affairs that neutrals who want the Premier League to go down to the wire are hoping that Leicester lose in April to keep the Premier League alive. No. That's a very strange state of affairs.
It was brilliant. So I went back to Leicester a few weeks back, and a lot of the backroom staff are still there from when I was there. I saw the physio, who's obviously a great mate of mine, spent a lot of time with him, and also the kit man as well, called Macca. And I was speaking to him, and he said it's unbelievable. He says, we go to other clubs and says we'll go out for a walk in the town the day before or something in his Leicester tracksuit, and people coming up and shaking his hand, literally saying, keep going. He said, I'm just a kit man. He said, well, it doesn't matter, just keep it going. And he says he feels like he can go around and kiss babies' heads. It's just an unbelievable feeling at the moment.
Other end of the table, Norwich is where your heart is, isn't it?
Don't yes, say? Yeah. It is.
That was not a great day yesterday. Barry's a Sunderland fan, as you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Brilliant. No, it was full credit to Sunderland, and they did a proper job on Norwich yesterday. Norwich started the game pretty well for 20, 25 minutes. But my issue with Norwich at the moment, I think they flatter themselves in midfield. They pack the midfield areas out, so they do have plenty of ball retention in there and keep the ball well enough and get into decent areas. But like any side in the Premier League, they concede too many and they don't score enough. And when you've got someone like Jermaine Defoe, who I thought was outstanding yesterday, was incredible. You're always going to get goals. And unfortunately, our top goal scorer is on 5 this season. At least there's a few of them on 5. But essentially, you need someone who's going to bang regular goals in. And we just haven't got that.
Does everyone still believe in Alex Neil?
Absolutely. I think he's a top quality manager. But same as any manager, you're only as good as the players you've got out on the park. And if there's not enough quality in that side, you're going to end up where you end up. But, as I said yesterday, I'd still rather be in Norwich's position right now than it would be Sunderland's, because they're still not in a bottom three. It's in their hands. It's a massive blow psychologically, I think, from yesterday's game. But, I don't think Sunderland have gone any particular runs this season in winning games. But Norwich have managed to put 2 or 3 games together at times. So there's no reason why they can't bounce back quite quickly and win another one.
Thank you for your time, Darren.
My pleasure.
Excellent hair, Edie House, doesn't he? Look at that barrel.
I didn't know
all my own as well.
It's a high quiff. That
is. You were on TV yesterday morning.
I was, yes. Yeah, I was.
Fletch and Sav on a TV station.
It was a quiff off, wasn't it?
Mentioned because. But yeah, it was like you and Sav were. Who can have the biggest quiff?
Well, he copied me, didn't he? Me and him were pals from Leicester. We're good buddies. We were roomies and stuff at Leicester. But he used to have his long mane then, which is a bit off-putting.
But that's all you know, hair transplants there?
No, all my own. Starting to go grey now, which is a bit of a worry. Not quite as grey as yours, though.
No, that's true. Well, Philip Schofield, that's the dream, isn't it?
Is it?
You'll get that.
Is,
and then I'll get on this morning. Brilliant. you can be a yes man on that, and everyone's
can
happy.
Can I be your Holly Willoughby?
Of course you can, Barry.
Well,
if you want to listen to Darren, you can talksport.com all around the world. If you're here, you have Matterface and Collymore live, exclusive national radio commentary of that. Thank you, Darren.
My pleasure.
That. You can go now if you
thank
want.
You.
Or you can stay and listen to this. Time for the warm-up news review of the week.
Talksport breaking news.
Barry was at Anfield on Thursday night. He was so excited when Dejan Lovren scored that he let one go. Here's Jurgen Klopp.
Everybody could see it. Something happened in the stadium. You could feel it, you could hear it, everything, and you could smell it.
It wasn't pretty, but you have to admire it.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Back to the show now. Glowing praise for the warm-up from Arsene Wenger.
It's not terrible.
Thanks, Arsene. Steve Bruce, not so keen.
It's simply not good enough.
Big Sam, how have you enjoyed the new features we've started?
It sounds like, for me, it's the same old, same old.
You're probably right, Sam. Have you and Lee Catamol sent us those ideas you said that would improve the show?
We haven't done it.
Well, in your own time. Roberto Martinez, who are the three hottest players at Everton?
Seamus Coleman, Ross Barkley, Ramiro Funes Mori.
I think Gareth Barry's got something about him. To Manchester United now, and Louis van Gaal handed the squad one chocolate bar to share after the quarter-final win over West Ham.
Give a boost to all the players.
Very generous of you. Louis, did you like that giant cardboard cutout of Jose Mourinho I sent you?
What I always have wanted.
Ronald Koeman, I have a problem. I need to talk to my dad, but he's in a different part of the country, so he won't hear if I shout. Can you suggest anything?
You can use your telephone.
Oh, thanks, Ronald. Bakary Sanya, talk to us about polar bears.
All of them are dangerous.
Sage advice, Bakary. Alex Neil, do you like my picture of Dion Dublin?
I think it was always going to be big.
Claudio Ranieri, do your impression of a hobo.
Change, change, change.
Very good. Gus Hiddink, what do you think of Hadaway's What Is Love?
Yeah, there's this nice record.
Alan Pardew, you play Hadaway just before kickoff, don't you?
Well, of course it gives everybody a lift.
And Alan, you did agree to dress up in a full leather corset for those nights out when Hadaway was over here in the 90s.
That was it. It was just a gentleman's agreement on my part.
Good for you. Steve Bruce, anything to finish on?
In and around the bottom area where we're going to be, and I've had plenty of experience of it.
So they were the best bits of our show. As you could hear, it got 10 out of 10, which, you know, is probably overstating a little bit. But, you know, it was a very solid 7, wouldn't you say, Barry?
Yeah.
Yeah. So have a great week. Be nice to everyone. If you see... What are you doing? What's that for?
Just hurry up, will you?
Why?
I want to go home.
What for?
I want to watch the football.
Okay, that's a good excuse, I guess.
And I'm hungry.
How much will you drink this afternoon?
4 pints.
Just 4?
Yeah.
And if you have 4, do you sleep well or does it affect you a tiny bit?
Well, the thing is I'll probably have a little nap then after.
Will you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So what time? At 5 or 6 you have a nap? Do you go to bed or do you just have it on the side?
Oh, no, I just have a little lie down. Maybe.
Where?
Well, it might be on my bed or on the sofa.
How long for?
Half an hour.
Okay. And then up and then bed at what time?
Sundays, well, because I usually work early on a Monday morning, I'll probably be in bed by 10:30.
Oh, okay. But that little half hour, that sort of... Do you wake up with a hangover after that little nap?
Not if
I... Or are you just so sloshed with alcohol that it's just, you know,
topping
up? No,
I wouldn't get a hangover for 4 pints.
No, such a man.
Anything over 4, I'd know about it. But yeah. 4 is fine.
4 is like a massive night for me. Seriously, that is me.
This is going to be longer than the actual pod highlight.
Well, yeah, we have to flesh it out. Not flesh it out. That's something else. All right. Anyway, look, have a great day. All that sort of stuff.